All right. So the lyrics of the song The Long Black Train go as follows. There's a long black train coming down the line, feeding on the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Look to the heavens. You can look to the skies. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. There is protection and there's peace the same, burning your ticket for the long black train. There's an engineer on that long black train, making you wonder if the ride is worth the pain. He's just waiting on your heart to say, let me ride on that long black train. Well, I can hear the whistle from a mile away, and it sounds so good that I must stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stare, but its only destination is the middle of nowhere. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say, victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. Don't go a-riding on that one, on that long black train. And so this is a song, again, it's by Josh Turner. And I love that song so much. When I was over in Afghanistan, down at Kandahar Airfield, you know, if I was there on a Saturday night, we had karaoke. And there's the guy named Mike Burnett, who I'm still in touch with to this day. And we used to sing that song, and I would sing the, he would sing the melody, I would sing the harmony on the chorus, and it just sounded so great. But the message behind it is even greater. To me, the song represents our constant fight, the constant fight that we face against the lures of Satan and the choices that we have to make each day between good and evil. Based on the song, I'm going to talk about three things. I'm going to talk about the sin that is represented by the long black train. I'm going to talk about finding redemption by looking to the skies, and that is redemption through Christ, and how to shield oneself against the lures of the devil. If we take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:33, and let's turn to that right now, 1 Corinthians 15:33. It reads, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So what are we saying here? We're saying that in some translations we'll say evil communication. Others will say corrupts good morals. But the bottom line is that we have to be careful about who we socialize with, whether they be believers or whether they be those in the world. And this particular verse was talking about believers. We also have to be careful of the influences that are out there all around us that come from other than God. All right. We find ourselves having our minds filled with things from books and magazines, music, and it seems like it gets worse every year in many cases, movies, websites. And a lot of websites are engineered, especially with ads, to draw you into something. Some of them draw you with racy images into, they're like gateways to pornography. Some of them just draw you into stuff that you just don't need to be distracted by. There's a lot of partisan political rhetoric on both sides that's drawing us away from the principles of God. And we have to be aware of the other communications that convey evil rather than good. And when I think about, when I look at some of these commercials today, I'm overwhelmed sometimes by how much manipulation there is in these commercials. And a lot of it's to drive you to buy a product, but then they, even in the corporate world, they're dividing you and then marketing to you based on the segment that you fall into. So we got to be careful about those evil communications. We have to be careful because we live in perilous times. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy, the third chapter, starting at verse 3. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, starting at verse 3. And it reads, 2 Timothy 3, 5 through 7. It reads, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For this sort are those who creep into the households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have to watch for those who profess God, but rely on worldly weapons, that rely on worldly devices. We must allow God to work through us. So in other words, when we're out there at work, when we're at school, when we're out there at the grocery store, we need to be reflecting Christ all the time. Because there are a lot of people out there who need Jesus. We see it more and more each day. Every time I see a mass shooting, every time I see a carjacking or something like that, the root of all those things is sin. And unfortunately, a lot of people out there are not getting an opportunity to hear about Jesus. And on large part, it might be because we are neglecting them. We must have faith in God's power and promise. We kind of talked about that a little bit this morning during the class. Waiting on God. Trusting in His Word. Understanding that even if things don't work out for me on this earth, this world is not my home. And God is going to keep His promises to me. We need to understand the essence of godliness. We need to take on those attributes of being genuinely religious, being holy, being reverent, showing our faith, showing love, and showing our devotion to God. If we take a look at 1 John, the second chapter, 1 John, the second chapter, and we're going to be reading verses 15 and 16. 1 John, the second chapter, 15 and 16. And it reads, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, he loves the Father. The love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. Anytime we ride a train, we have to have a ticket, right? Train fare. So let's talk about what the train fare is for the long black train. The train fare is love of the world. Loving worldly institutions, organizations, other factions within the world more than we love God, more than we love God's people. That can never be. You know, Facebook used to be a good thing, but in recent years it's become a terrible thing. And I've seen brothers referring to other brothers derogatory terms because of their political affiliation, using terms like murdercrats against their own brothers. And when people in the world see this, why would they want to be part of the church? Lust of the flesh. So as we go on about our day-to-day lives, there are going to be things that we see that we don't have that we might like to have. There might be people that we don't have that we might like to have. But if we allow those things to manifest themselves, those thoughts, they're going to turn into actions. And before we know it, we're going to be on that long black train. Lust of the eyes, we already talked about, and pride of life. Our focus needs to be, number one, obtaining a home for ourselves in heaven. And number two, trying to bring as many people as we can with us. But the pride of life gets in the way. You know why? Because it puts the focus on me and not on my neighbor. It puts the focus on me and not on my brother. The pride of life will get you a first-class ticket on the long black train. And based on 1 John 2:17, we know the world is passing away and the lust in it. But he who does the will of God abideth forever. Right? So we can get involved in all these worldly things. I was talking to my wife this morning about all the organizations that our relatives have been part of, but those organizations mean nothing. Because once Jesus returns, or once we leave this earth, we can't take Him with us, and they're going to mean nothing when we go to await our judgment. So we've got to be careful about these worldly organizations. Now, for young people, it's not hard to get on that train. It's not hard to get a ticket. All you need to do is engage in drinking and drugs. Because when you're in high school, it's pretty fun, right? Maybe you get to college. Maybe you get out on the job with your friends. It's pretty fun. But down the road, it has impacts. And so, you know, I'm not going to stand here and say that you're going to go to hell for drinking alcohol. But I'm going to tell you why I don't keep it in my house. Because I'm predisposed to abusing it, right? So if it's there and I'm having a bad day, you know, we don't have them as much anymore, but when I used to have these deep disagreements with Lolita, you know, if it was there, I would have drank it. But instead, I just went out on these really long walks and everything was good afterwards. But we have to understand the impacts that those things could have on our life. Fornication. We don't talk about fornication enough, right? And young people are doing things that substitute for fornication, but it's still fornication, right? Those things, they're the root causes of a lot of other bad things that happen. We're not just talking about unwanted pregnancies. We're not talking about the needs for having abortions. We're not talking about just STDs. But when young people get involved sexually with another person, it kind of really starts to affect their behavior. And so you get started early. A lot of times you end up in relationships you shouldn't be in. We just need to be careful. Materialism. Wanting the latest this, wanting the latest that. I remember I used to go through certain neighborhoods and everybody. And there's nothing wrong with having these things. But everybody had a pool and everybody had a boat, right? And some of the people didn't even use their boats, but they had them. And I'm like, why do you have this boat? You know, I'm pretty sure it's because their neighbor had a boat, right? So we got to be careful about the desire to have things in the world. If there are things that you do for recreation and you want to have, great. Just don't do it because everybody else does it. I've seen guys out on the golf course. I'm like, he really doesn't look like he's enjoying this game, but he's enjoying his time with his buddies. So, yeah, I guess that money's well spent. I don't play golf, by the way. All right, pressure to be popular. This is terrible today. I mean, it was bad back then. But we didn't have social media. And so now not only do you have to be popular at school or on the playground or whatever, but when you go home, you can't get away from it. See, you know, if I was a nut in class and, you know, I developed this reputation, I could get away with it when I went home. But they can't get away from it today. So we have to be careful about those things. And if we put too much emphasis on that and don't focus on being a godly individual, it's going to put us on the train. Pressure to disobey parents. I don't think I have to talk much about that. I'm so glad that I was more afraid of my mother than I was of the police. In fact, I remember one time I elected to get paddled in 10th grade. And the reason I elected was because if I got suspended, my mother was going to find out what I did, right? And I didn't want that. And lacking self-control, all right? There is, the Bible talks about it. We have to be of self-control. There are a lot of people out there in society that they just do what comes to their mind, what comes to their desire. They don't care how it affects anybody else. They don't care how it reflects on them if they're a Christian. And so we have to be we have to always be kind of circumspect or be very conscious of how we act and how it appears to others and how it appears to God. I call lacking self-control being self-driven without regard to God and others. So we have to be cognizant of how it reflects on God and how it reflects on others. But young people aren't the only ones who are affected, who can easily get a ticket on this long black train. So for adults, sex is a big one. Fornication, adultery, and the likes. We have to remember that our bodies are temples, and in order for the Holy Spirit to reside within us, we have to be clean. And those things will not only dirty our temple, but they'll get us a ticket on the train. We already talked about alcohol. Let's talk about dancing just a little bit, right? Now, my dad was, he was like, no dancing at all, my stepfather. No dancing at all, right? So I want to make a distinction, because there are certain dances that are either, they get you up close and personal, or they consist of lewd movements. And so those things are sexually enticing, and we should avoid them at all costs, unless you're with your husband or your wife. Gambling's another one. I mean, we see it all over the place. In fact, Virginia's trying to get casinos. And I just haven't seen a state where that's worked really well for, but the politicians do a really good job selling it. Casinos, scratchers, sports, you know, this FanDuel and whatever the others are, all of those things, they can get a hold of you. And of course, they have this disclaimer, if you need help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, right? That's just what you call a courtesy consideration, but it's not effective at all. If people have a problem, they're not going to call that number. All right. It's just states looking for ways to make money, and they don't care about the impact that it has on their citizens. Watching television and movies that entice us. Oh, that's one that's going to get you a ticket on the train, right? And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. There are movie producers out there who I respected at one time, because they had movies that were fairly clean and usually had a good message to them. But even they have gone off the rails. I just don't know what it is about Hollywood. But those things, if we watch those things and we condone those things, then it's going to eventually have an impact on us, and it's going to get us a ticket on that train. Covetousness, we talked about keeping up with the Joneses and things like that. So I don't think I have to go into that much more. And then finally, putting things like race, nation, or other worldly interests before God. And I'm going to do two separate ends of the spectrum. There's a false religion called God's guns and countries, and country. And men who put this nation's founding fathers on the same level as Jesus Christ in some cases. And then there's the other end, which is this progressivism, which is destroying the nation, destroying families. Now, I'm not talking about those people who worked hard to get equal rights for all of us, rights that I might not have had 50 years ago, right, 60 years ago. But we're talking about people who are forcing things on this nation that are ungodly. So we have to be aware of false religions. And we have to ask ourselves a question, is the ride worth the pain? Is the ride worth the pain? Let's take a look at Mark, the 13th chapter, and we're going to start at 49. Mark 13, and we're going to start at 49. I'm sorry, Matthew. Matthew 13. I could hear someone saying that verse doesn't exist. 49 through 50. And it reads, "So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." I want to go back to verse 48, because there's some context here. And in verse 40, we'll go back to 47. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So in asking the question, is the ride worth the pain, we have to understand when they talk about that net, pulling that net in, and these were Israelites pulling this net in. And so there were fish that they could keep, which had scales, etc., and there were those that didn't have scales that they had to cast away, right? So that's painting a picture here for us. The pain of that train is being cast away on the day of judgment. I don't know about you. I don't want to be on that train. Take a look at 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. It reads, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvel, into his marvelous light." So what I want to tell you based on this verse is that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. The Lord knows how to get the godly off of that train. However, the unjust, they're going to stay on that train, and that train is going to take them to eternal punishment after the day of judgment. So we have to always ask ourselves, is that ride worth the pain? And I don't know about you, but I want to stay off of that long black train. But to do so, we have to be imitators of God, and that's based on Ephesians 5, 1 through 7. Let's go take a look at Ephesians 5, 1 through 7. And it reads, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers in them." We must not be partakers in this long black train. We must walk as children of light, and that's based on Ephesians 5:8. We must have no fellowship with unfruitful works, and that's based on Ephesians 5:11. And we must walk circumspectly. And when I was a kid, I used to have to visualize what walking circumspectly means. And it's walking with a 360 view of yourself and your walk. So we must walk circumspectly. And I think by walking circumspectly, we can stay off of that train. We have to look to the skies. Let's take a look at Romans, the second chapter, verses 23 and 24. Romans, the second chapter, verses 23 and 24. And it reads, You who make your boast in the law, you dishonor God through breaking the law. For the name of God is not blessed." I don't know if that's the right one. Romans, where are we? Romans, the third chapter. Romans, the third chapter, and we're going to do 23 and 24. And it reads, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So, by looking to the skies, we're looking to the redemption that once we put on Christ in baptism, we have received through our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ purchased redemption for us all, right? So it might be like someone in the office buying pizza for everybody, right? But it's up to us to go to the break room and get the pizza, right? But Jesus purchased redemption for us all. Let's take a look at 1 Chronicles 16, 9 through 11. 1 Chronicles 16, 9 through 11. And it reads, "Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore." So, ladies and gentlemen, we have to cling to the Father, as the song said, and his holy name. And in doing so, we must seek to make wise choices. We have to resist Satan. And to resist Satan, we need shielding from his power. Let's take a look at Ephesians 6:11. Ephesians 6:11. And it reads, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So we have to put on the whole armor. And we have to always be on guard. We have to be able to recognize sin. Sin does not always look like sin, does it? It usually starts small. We talked about alcohol and drugs a while ago. We also talked about the fornication, which often starts with dancing or quote-unquote harmless flirting or other inappropriate conduct. And we talked about how music can plant Satan's seed concealed by a catchy beat. I tell you, when I started doing karaoke, a lot was revealed to me about the songs I used to like as a kid. And after I actually saw the lyrics, I couldn't sing those songs anymore. Right? So we got to be careful about what kind of messages are wrapped up in those catchy beats. Let's take a look at Proverbs 13, 5 through 7. Proverbs 13, 5 through 7. And it reads, "A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. There is one who makes himself rich yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor yet has great riches." So we have to understand that righteousness is our weapon against the devil. We also have to understand that wickedness is the devil's weapon against us. We have to understand that Satan takes advantage of the proud, the arrogant, and the selfish. But we have to also understand that self is at the core of sin. So, in conclusion, I want to say that taking a ride on the long black train is a temptation. It's a strong temptation to all of us. However, we can resist the sin of that train by clinging to the Father, by looking to the skies for redemption and doing his will. And although the lures of Satan, they're out there, they're all around us, but through God's word, we can arm ourselves and we can fight the lusts of the flesh that draw so many away from God, and they truly draw so many away from God. So, how do we get there? What is God's plan for redemption? What is God's plan for keeping us off of that train? Well, Romans 10:17 tells us that we have to hear the gospel. And the most basic thing that early believers proclaimed was that they believed Jesus was the Savior, and so many people at the time didn't. We have to believe, based on Mark 16:16. We have to repent. And what does repentance mean? It doesn't mean coming forward. It means that there has to be a change of heart. We have to not only discontinue doing the sin, but we have to change our hearts. We have to change that attribute that makes us want to do that sin and be godly sorrowful for it. And after we repent, we have to confess. And again, that confession that so many even today find it hard to make, that Jesus is the Son of God. And finally, based on a number of verses, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, Acts 18:8, Romans 6:3, we have to be baptized. And when I have this discussion at work about baptism, so when the New Testament references salvation, people being saved, they said, well, they didn't always get baptized. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Keep on reading, right? So further on down you see, and they were all baptized. So yes, baptism is an essential element of salvation. And once we become Christians, once we become added to the Lord's church, we have to remain faithful. Because, again, we can get on that train. And if we're not careful, we won't get off in time. So, with that, the lesson is yours this morning. If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, now is the time. I say now is the time because tomorrow's not guaranteed. If you're on the train, now is the time to get off of the train. Brittany?
Yes?
I spoke with you briefly this morning, and you expressed your willingness to obey the gospel this morning. And so I'm going to ask you one question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
I do.
And upon that confession that you made before all of the people here this morning, we're going to baptize you. So, ladies, can you assist Brittany as we get ready? And while they're doing that, let's go ahead and sing the song of invitation. If everyone could please stand.